Breaking news on Seculo. Did special counsel Jack Smith just give Donald Trump a clear path to the White House?
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, folks, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Now, Jack Smith, the prosecutor, special counsel, who's been trying to get Donald Trump since Donald Trump left office. Remember, he's this guy. He's very good at getting maybe initial convictions and dirtying politicians up and then getting reversed on appeal. In this case, he brought charges against Donald Trump that ultimately the U.S. Supreme Court said you could not even bring against people who entered the Capitol illegally. So even those who trespassed, even those who did knowingly break law, could not be charged with these crimes of obstructing Congress. Yet Jack Smith tries to put those two charges back in. So what we have is this filing document post the Supreme Court case that made that decision. And in this filing document, Jack Smith is saying, this is what I think I could still bring against Donald Trump. And so the judge reviews it. The Trump legal team will review it. They have, I think it's 10 days or 14 right. days to respond. 14 days to respond. And then after their response, guess who gets to respond again? Jack Smith, likely. And then the judge will make her decision. So what Jack Smith is asking for is, this is like everything he wants. It could be whittled down. It could be zeroed out, because the judge may have a very different opinion than Jack Smith has on that immunity case, which though she might not agree with, she is bound to follow. Now, she's not very, doesn't sound like a very pro-Trump judge in this situation, but timeline-wise, the reason why we could say this kind of clears it out for Donald Trump, we'll walk through it for you in the next segment of the broadcast. There is no way this case is coming to a conclusion, much less even really probably the start of a trial, before we know who the next president of the United States will be. So no way it's happening before November.
Yeah, with just 33 days left until the general election, there's no way it's going to happen. We're also going to walk you through some of the key points that are in there, a lot of alleged overheards, a lot of things like that, and of course from a lot of anonymous sources, as those have been redacted. We'll discuss that coming up in the next segment. Our dad, Jay Sekulow, will be joining us also later on in the broadcast. CeCe Heil from the ACLJ. We'll talk about an intervention she just did at the UN. And Rick Grinnell will be joining us. So it is a packed show. Stay tuned for this hour. Of course, we are still following all the news coming out of Israel. And the ACLJ is on, we have our office in Jerusalem. So we are there in support of Israel any way we can. As we know, Iran fired 200-ish ballistic missiles at Israel this week, and last night they launched rockets through the Houthis in Yemen. There's a lot going on right now. We need you to help stand with Israel as we mobilize our office in Jerusalem. You've heard from Jeff Balaban over and over again. He runs our office in Jerusalem, and we are, again, getting so engaged in this. You're going to hear about that later on from CeCe Heil, and I'm going to encourage you right now to become an ACLJ champion by making a monthly recurring donation at ACLJ.org right now. Do that at ACLJ.org. If you want to be on the air as well, we do have some phone lines open, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching online, I encourage you, if you're on YouTube or if you're on Rumble, hit that like button. Send me a comment. You can even comment, just if you don't know what to comment, tell me where you're watching from. I love to read those comments during the break, but really what it does is help get the word out there. We are not your mainstream news source, but we can reach just as many, if not more, people with your help. So do that. Interact. If you can't donate, that's fine. There are ways you can support the ACLJ even without donating. We encourage you to donate, but a lot of that is subscribing, liking, commenting. If you subscribe, that helps it get more into people's algorithms. I know a lot of you watch this every day and don't subscribe. I can see the back end numbers. So do that. We will be back in just a moment. Go to ACLJ.org right now or give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. I want to hear from you. Again, our dad, Jay Sekulow, joining us in the next segment.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Seculo. Give us a call right now at 1-800-684-3110. A few of you have, but phone lines are still open at 1-800-684-3110. Our dad, Jay Sekulow, is joining us via phone right now. Dad, want to get your initial thoughts on this unsealing.
Well, look, it's unprecedented, number one, because you have a Department of Justice policy that says, you know, when you're getting within, you know, 60, 90 days of a general election, or even an election generally, you don't try to put your thumb on the scale by, you know, basically unleashing a document here in the form of a brief that eviscerates attempts to eviscerate one of the candidates for president of the United States. Here's the problem. I read the whole thing, Logan, last night, cover to cover, all 165 pages. It's nonsense. You can't be indicted for these things. This can't be a crime for a president. So that's the problem with all of this. He's still stretching so desperately to try to make this case work that it's really a sign of desperation.
Yeah, I mean, Dad, I want to go to first just the timeline, too, because so you've got last Thursday, September 26th, he files this under seal. He then on October 2nd files another legal brief that is unsealed, but October 10th, is the Trump deadline to file objections. There's no date assigned yet by Chutkan for a final decision. So, I mean, all of this happening, you know, in real time. But the issue here is that this is just what Jack Smith would like to bring. And there's still going to be motions and challenges to it, including the judge's own questions, the Trump team's own questions, and probably Jack Smith's rebuttal to the Trump team's questions. And this is all before we even go to an actual case.
You're exactly correct. So here's what this is. This, remember what the document is. This is a brief supporting their what's called superseding indictment. They had to redo the indictment because most of what they relied on, the Supreme Court in a 6-3 opinion said you can't do. You can't bring in testimony from the president's advisors and try to use that against him as far as an unofficial act goes. And I, you know, look, Jeff Toobin on CNN last night said, and I think he's right, but this is really stretching it. And as I said earlier, I think this is an act of desperation for a prosecutor that's trying to justify his existence as his whole world is imploded. He's lost every major appellate issue. I mean, look, Chutkan should not have released this. In my view, that was a mistake. But she was overturned by the Supreme Court. So let's realize where this is coming from.
Yeah, I mean, that is important to point out. Why are we even seeing something that isn't a finalized legal brief, but instead a something that you would usually think that would be in the background, because I'm sure many people are looking at this and saying, this is just like a political hit piece a few weeks before the election.
Because that's what it was. And if you read it, the first 55 pages of it are reciting facts with all these, you know, this lawyer said to this person that said to that person. It's like hearsay on hearsay. But, you know, this is what people need to understand. They're not doing this as a civil case. They're doing this as a criminal case. And Jack Smith was not stopped by the Department of Justice, and Chutkan should have known better. But she's burned because she got overturned.
Yeah, I mean, when you actually look at this, Dad, we already know that of the major charges, two of the four the Supreme Court has thrown out for people who actually did break the law, did trespass, and did enter the Capitol. He keeps these charges in there against President Trump, who did not trespass, did not enter the Capitol. So how could those possibly stand? And the second part about this is the timeline, because of, I think, that the radicalness of how Jack Smith tried to question what is a presidential act and what is not a presidential act, and that a president has no immunity post being president. By putting all those issues at play, he really killed this case from the very beginning, because we were looking at the timeline here. I mean, there's no way even a trial begins before Election Day.
Of course not. And you said something very, very important, and it's very good analysis, and that's this. The idea, Jack Smith is a creature of his own demise. He's created his own problems. He's the one that brought in all of this evidence, or attempted to, involving people that the president actually worked with on a day-to-day basis. We all knew that had to be wrong. We've been saying we filed briefs, we said it was wrong, and the Supreme Court agreed with us. So then they try, instead of just dropping it, he can't resist, and he does it again, and this time it's so far-fetched. I don't even know if it gets, I mean, I don't know what Chutkan will do, but the Court of Appeals, they may even say, no, this is a bridge too far.
Yeah, I mean, at what point do you think, I mean, regardless of who wins the election, do you think the next president of the United States, even if it was a Democrat, would keep this going? Because usually you don't want to keep the movement that you may have beaten alive. So if you're Harris and Waltz, do you really want to keep going after Donald Trump? Because though he's unlikely to be a candidate again, there's certainly the MAGA world could certainly produce one and get through the Republican nomination and be really tough, and if, especially if this is a close election. Or do you let it, do you do the Donald Trump and say, you know what, just let them fade away into obscurity, which he did with Hillary Clinton?
You would think that they would just let this thing go. First of all, it should have never been brought in the first place. But after the election, either way, yes, it should be dropped. I think it'd be in the best interest of the country. I have no idea whether they'll do that or not. But if the president wins, obviously it goes away because you can't indict and prosecute a sitting president. If he loses, it should go away because it's not the way we run our country.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of a final question on this, because most people are kind of wondering what they're reading here. And so this is a re-motion post-Supreme Court case on immunity attached to a Supreme Court case on what January 6th defendants, those who entered the Capitol, could be charged with. So it's a combination of both. And somehow you've got to get around. The major issue here, Dad, is Jack Smith and Judge Chutkan have to figure out, when does the presidential immunity stop, does it ever really start or stop while you are actually in office, or what acts would it take? And to me, that seems like another huge question that on the charges they think they may still be able to bring, the Supreme Court might weigh in on.
Well, look, I think Jack Smith believes that there was no presidential immunity for official or unofficial acts. Remember, that's where he started. No immunity. And instead, the Supreme Court said absolute immunity for official acts. So I think the reality is Jack Smith is, and you're right, that was the second case, the Fisher case, where the Supreme Court said, no, that January 6th law doesn't, the indictment doesn't work for that kind of action. It has to be destruction of evidence and so forth. When you take those together, Jordan and Logan, I think that's it. But he won't stop. So in 34 days, we'll know, I think, where this litigation goes, because we'll know where the election is. We should have a general idea anyways.
go ahead and take a call. Charles is calling from Texas, and he's watching on Rumble, one of our favorite free speech platforms. Charles, you're on the air.
Yeah, the stuff with Jack Smith, he needs to be disbarred. He really needs to just go away. And as far as the Democrat Party, the ones that started this, two wrongs don't make a right. So we got to just let that die, just like Hillary Clinton. He didn't go after, you know, Trump didn't go after Hillary Clinton, which he had every right to. But yet they can go after Trump on every little crap thing that comes up.
I think that's what's happened, Dad. I mean, every little thing that they possibly could imagine, they could even get to court on, regardless of if they get a conviction, they feel like it's the death by a thousand cuts. So far, those thousand cuts have not killed Donald Trump. I mean, Election Day will be the answer for that, about whether or not this was a strategy that worked. But, Dad, I think for the country's future, whether or not it works politically or not, this could be the death to America, in a sense, because if this is now how we treat each other politically, is we will just try to destroy our opponent, even if we know we're bringing bogus legal cases against them, but we could spread them out all over the country, state courts and federal courts, then ultimately we win. That's a lot more like a banana republic than it is the United States of America.
That's why they should have done nothing. And the election should have taken place, and whoever wins the election is the president of the United States, and that's it. And focusing on that kind of situation, not this. But that's, listen, the Biden administration decided to do this, and here we are. And Jack Smith's the one who came up with these ridiculous theories. It was his own.
Yeah, but we are only 33 days from the election. We're going to be following this very closely, so you make sure that you're a part of this broadcast each and every day heading into the election. A lot of you are watching right now. We can see those numbers on YouTube and on Rumble. If you're brand new, which we know, when these kind of numbers happen, sometimes up to 50% of you have never seen us before. We do this broadcast each and every day, Monday through Friday, from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern live. And then, of course, you can catch it up later on ACLJ.org, on our podcast feeds, or here on YouTube or on Rumble. You can find the broadcast there. And same if you're listening on radio as well. You can always find the show live every day at ACLJ.org and all your favorite social media platforms and YouTube and Rumble, live from 12 to 1 p.m. So I'm going to encourage you right now, hit that subscribe button. If you're watching this right now and you're like, I don't know what to say. I mean, phone lines are open, but I don't know if I want to call in at 1-800-684-3110. In the comments, one, hit the thumbs up. In the comments, just tell me where you're watching from, because that really helps us here at the ACLJ. And of course, what really could help Jordan, as we only got 10 seconds here, though, is to go to ACLJ.org and become an ACLJ champion. That's someone that wants to stand with us, stand with Israel today, become a monthly recurring donor.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We want to get to, of course, we're going to have a full segment of calls today. We get back to all of these issues. So if you are on the phone about this, Rick Rennell is going to be joining us about this as well in the second half hour of the broadcast, but early in the second half hour. So if you're holding on, we can bring you on too to ask Rick about it as well. But Logan, let's get into a call now.
Let's go to Daniel, who's calling in Nevada on line two. Daniel, you're on the air.
Hello, you guys. Yeah, I see what's happening, but right now, it's not. If Trump doesn't win, all these suits are going after him. Nobody else would be able to. I don't care. It's going to break our election system altogether because the deep state, he's the only one that could finish breaking what he's doing. Anybody else could get bought out. And right now, Trump, this is going to set an example. If he don't win, they're going to finish him off to show nobody else is going to mess with the deep states that's running our country right now.
You know, I think, listen, ultimately here, the constant lawfare has got to be put to an end. Because if we continue to treat our opponents this way, we are not the country that our founding fathers, even those who men and women who have fought, not just in the Revolutionary War, or in World War I, or World War II in Korea, or Vietnam, in Iraq, inside, of course, Afghanistan. We fight for these values that at the end of the day, we respect our leaders who are elected by the people. They can make bad decisions as leaders. As oftentimes, I'm sure anybody who works for big companies or small companies, or if you're the top of your company, every decision you make is probably not the best one. Sometimes you don't get it right. That doesn't always make it criminal. Statements that you make that can be taken out of context, for instance, should not be a crime in the United States of America. It may impact whether or not someone wants to vote for you or whether or not someone wants to do business with you. It should not impact whether or not you end up behind bars with a felony record. Remember, Donald Trump and these charges are speaking. This is just speech. He took no actions. He did not enter the Capitol. He did not tell people to enter the Capitol. When people did enter the Capitol, he told them to leave. Okay? And he asked, we all know this now, as much as the Democrats constantly say it's not true, days before January 6th, he alerted the National Guard, he alerted the Capitol and Nancy Pelosi that they should bring in more security, that he would unleash the National Guard for them to do that, and Logan, they said no. So instead, they relied on a handful, compared to what the National Guard would be, of Capitol Hill police to stop thousands of people moving at them. If the National Guard was there, what we saw on January 6th would have stopped and ended where the National Guard was standing.
Right. If you read through a lot of these documents, you'll just sort of notice that a lot of it is hearsay. A lot of it is alleged. A lot of it's from people. So there's a lot of it. Yes. If you read through it, you may go, oh, there's a lot of damning stuff in here. But when you really look at it, there's not a lot of, you know, pure evidence to suggest it. Now, I did want to take a moment, CeCe Howell's joining us in studio, to pivot just a little. And then, as Jordan said, we're going to get right back on this topic coming up in the next segment. But obviously, the ACLJ support of Israel is something that we're very proud of, something that we're very supportive of. And it's couldn't be happening at a more important time, CeCe, and you were just getting involved at the UN.
Right, and we always stay involved at the United Nations. I know a lot of people are like, you know, why are you involved there? Mm-hmm. But it's very important because that is the world stage. That is where all of the member states, 193 member states, come and voice their opinions. And so we always want to be there supporting Israel and really one of the few voices that do that. And so the Human Rights Council's in session, and they're doing oral interventions right now. And I presented one yesterday defending Israel regarding UNRWA, and then I'll present one tomorrow on anti-Semitism, again, defending Israel.
Yeah, and I think we should show that we have that, correct? All right, it's about a minute and a half, so just stay tuned. Here it is.
The European Center for Law and Justice via video.
Thank you, Mr. President. Although it's been a well-known and documented fact that the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, UNRWA, has aided and abetted Hamas in its terrorist activities for decades, from storing rockets and promoting anti-Semitism to now actually attacking, kidnapping, and holding innocent Israelis hostage. The UN has finally at least acknowledged this illegal alliance. In a statement by the UNRWA Commissioner General, he condemned the abhorrent attacks of October 7th and called for the immediate and unconditional release of all Israeli hostages, and further stated that any UNRWA employee who was involved in acts of terror would be held accountable, including through criminal prosecution. Unfortunately, the Israeli hostages have not been released, and the extent of punishment for the guilty UNRWA employees has simply been losing their jobs. This confirmation of what the world has known to be true for decades, that UNRWA is complicit with the terrorist activities of Hamas, is shameful. It's a reflection on the entire UN body, an international body that is called to protect human rights, not employ and fund terrorists. As UNRWA is completely incapable of fulfilling its mandate, it should be disbanded and defunded immediately. Thank you.
And so that, again, aired, CC, to the entire UN Human Rights Council in Geneva. And, you know, the idea here that they could have gotten fired, but they have universal immunity from prosecution.
Yeah. And you know, the Commissioner General said that he was going to actually go after them with criminal, actions. And they should, because these people literally engaged in October 7th. They took hostages. They held them hostage. Some of them probably even killed some of the Israelis. And for them to be punished by just simply losing their jobs, that is not enough. And over, several member states have defunded UNRWA, stopped their funding of UNRWA, and we need to do that. But we actually need to just stop UNRWA in its entirety, because you can't have a United Nations body that's actually acting in concert with terrorists. And that's what we're pushing for. We just can't have the anti-Semitism that is so prevalent in the United Nations continue.
We have this kind of work, and that is why the ACLJ's work and our European Center, which again, funded the same way. That's why we need your support. It's not just about a broadcast. We do this show each and every day, which is great. I know a lot of you watch, hundreds of thousands, millions of you watch each and every day or listen on radio. And that's incredible. The donations help fund this to make sure we can make this show the best we can. We can put out incredible content. But we also take action, Jordan, and then we have these moments where we can go, because of our status, on behalf of the ACLJ and the ECLJ. We are there delivering these messages to the UN because it's necessary.
Yeah, I want to remind people that we can do that both in person and still by video now, because they changed the rules during COVID, and they're because of situations where if something were to happen and travel was restricted, you could still get your point across, still make your intervention, but not anyone can go and sign up and say, I want to go speak while the UN Human Rights Council is in session, and I want to go speak on this situation involving Israel. You have to be approved by the United Nations as a consultative organization, as a group with consulted status. And the European Center for Law and Justice, our sister organization, has that fully within the UN, which is why we're able to go either send our team from Strasbourg, France, or send someone from the U.S., or even still do it by video as we did this week at the UN General Human Rights Council. That's all because of your support for the ACLJ. We're able to take on an issue like Israel at international courts, at international tribunals, at international organizations, and of course right here as we do the advocacy work for Israel as well, whether that's legislation. Support the work of the ACLJ. Go to ACLJ.org and donate today.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, folks, welcome back to Seculo. We are still taking your calls, too, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to talk to Rick Rennell, member of our team, also, of course, former acting director of national intelligence and ambassador to Germany, on these issues involving Israel and some other political issues as well. You may have seen him with President Trump over the last couple of weeks, even in that meeting with Zelensky. He was walking right behind President Trump and next to Zelensky's team. So he has both got that inside information as well as the political side to the campaign, which is unique in his role that he's plays both inside government and he's been outside government. So he knows a lot about both of those issues. And I think as well, when we talked about the Jack Smith information, Logan, and again, this is, to me, I just want to underscore to people, maybe we'll take another call. This is a political hit piece. It's Washington, D.C., with a judge who probably doesn't love Donald Trump, so is going to try their best to see if they can somehow figure out, even after the Trump team puts forward their objections. And let me go through the timetable for you real quick. So this gets filed last night. It gets unsealed. It gets filed on the 26th. He files to have it unsealed with redactions. And there are redactions made. A lot of those are people's names. So on October, now those redactions will not remain once this is actually, if this actually gets to be filed. So October, but he said, can we at least release publicly the evidence that we have so the
American people can see.
So the American people can see the criminal case we're about to bring, as including the defendant. That's not usually what you do, okay? But they file that October 2nd comes. And last evening, it gets unsealed. So they got what they wanted. October 10th is the deadline. So they have 8 days, seven now, for the Trump team to file objections. There's been no date assigned by Chutkin for a final decision. That is likely late October, which means we're not going to get anything on this before before the election day on whether or not any of this could move forward. And see, that's what I think is the judicial damage here that is disgraceful, is that Chutkin knows and Jack Smith knows that none of this will be fully determined by election day. So even if Judge Chutkin were to read through those Supreme Court decisions and ultimately come to a conclusion that none of this can be brought against President Trump, that will not come out until likely after the election, if he was vindicated that way. Certainly a trial won't begin. And none of this had to be made public. But Jack Smith requested for it to be made public. So are these people really seeking equal justice under law? Or are they just Democrat legal hacks committing the lawfare that we've been preaching against happening internationally that has now unfortunately crept into the U.S. political system, Logan?
Yep.
And that makes us not much better than a lot of developing world countries, will say it that way.
Well, the timeline just reeks. It just reeks
obvious
of political interference. I mean, there's no other way around it. When you look at the way it all lines up, it's saying, well, we're not going to be able to have an answer till when? Well, October 2nd. And then, okay, what about, when's next? Okay, maybe late October, you know, maybe into the week of the last week of October. So I don't know, the next Tuesday, there'll be a general election, one of which of these is the candidate. There are moments in time and in history and politics where you go, man, you can't believe that something like this is happening, and I feel like this is one of those moments, Jordan. But of course, it's not all that shocking anymore, because this just seems to be now the normal. The normal is playing politics with real serious elections.
And that's why we need your support to fight back. I mean, you've got to fight back about this, because first it's Donald Trump, then it will be you. Because if you can do this to a president, you can certainly do it to a small business owner. So what, the evidence against you is going to come out against you before you've even had a right to trial, before you're even in trial, to dirty you up so people say, you know what, I don't want to use his business. You never have the chance to defend yourself at the trial, to be found not guilty, or even throw out the charges that aren't relevant. Support the work of the ACLJ today. We need your donations. We need your support. Donate ACLJ.org.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. This is Jordan Seculo. Rick Rednell is joining us now. It's great to have him today because there's a lot of issues to talk through. First, Rick, I want to go through this with you. As former acting director of national intelligence and an ambassador to Germany, President Biden says he opposes the potential Israeli strike against Iran's nuclear program. Interesting that he would come right out and just say to Israel, even if the U.S. assessment was that we think an Israeli response could be successful, that he's trying to get out ahead of Israel and say, don't try it, the U.S. won't have your back.
I mean, look, he struggled with that answer. It was almost like he couldn't mentally capture what the question was. And then when he finally came around, he gave that answer. I think there's only one answer that American officials should say in this type of situation, and that is Israel has the right to defend themselves and not to second guess and not to, in a crisis, try to play some sort of control game. There is no question that we're coming up on a year. Americans have been held hostage. The situation is out of control. We have an escalating war, and it's so serious and so sad as to what's happening that American leadership, the White House in particular, has really struggled to figure out how they can bring peace. Donald Trump doesn't struggle with this. He just brings both sides together and says, knock it off, otherwise there are going to be consequences, and he forges peace. And that's why we see Jews, Arabs, evangelicals, Muslims, all sorts of groups coming together to say, Donald Trump brought us Arab-Israeli peace and didn't fund Iran. And I think this White House is really struggling, and Joe Biden is trying to play politics with some sort of balance. In these situations, you've got to just be open and honest, call for peace, and make sure that Israel always has the right to defend itself.
Let's go ahead and take some phone calls. I think we should do that while we have Rick here, because we've got some interesting ones coming in. Let's go to Tim, who's calling in Michigan on line 3. Tim, you're on the air.
Hey, my question is, for example, I mean, can't we file a lawsuit against, since Kamala's still part of the administration, for dereliction of duty just to make her life a little miserable? I know it sounds tit for tat, but I mean, my Mayorkas, for example, just got on the air and says, FEMA doesn't have any money to help our own citizens, but yet they're writing endless checks to illegal aliens. I mean, how do you stop this? I mean, can't Congress stop this? They approve funding. Can't they defund it?
Yeah, I mean, Rick, that's an interesting point. The funding provided to those who they have allowed in through this. Again, Haiti has some special status. Maybe walk people through that a little bit. But also, this idea that they just don't have enough resources for hurricane victims seems, again, outrageous in the United States of America.
First of all, let's be honest that Tim is someone who represents America, and Tim would never be welcome in Washington, D.C., because Tim has common sense. And what he's saying totally makes sense. Like, everyone's frustrated. Why can't we stop this? What can be done? We see these Washington, D.C. types completely messing up, lying to us, and continuing to do it. And the media is not stopping them. The media is not even calling them out. And I have to say that Tim's frustration is my frustration. Like, what can we do? How do we stop them? I do think that having shows like this is really important to highlight the problem. Hopefully, Tim is a supporter of ACLJ, because we are not somebody who sits around and talks. We do file lawsuits when appropriate. We do try to ask for FOIA requests, which is the Freedom of Information, and try to out the government. Sunlight, transparency. And the only way to do that is to sue, is to take people to court, take the government to court. We still have that. And ACLJ, our attorneys are experts on this. But Tim is so right. I would say, Tim, you should probably run for office, because for me, we have to have common sense voices in Washington, D.C. If you don't have common sense voices, then you get this swampy type voices of people who live and work in Washington, D.C., and they just want Washington, D.C. to be bigger, badder, better, and more funded. And I don't want that, and I don't think the American people want that.
Rick, I think that's one of the reasons why we even still take calls. People ask that, you know, a lot of broadcasts, they don't take live callers anymore. And some of that is due to just the nature of our show and the fact that we are available all across the country, all across the world now digitally, all across the country. So we're able to hear from people from all different states. Like right now, we have people on hold in California and Ohio. We've already had people on from Nevada. So we are, you know, going across the country in blue states and red states to hear from the American people. And I think that that is important. That's an important thing to do, because you have moments like the debate from just a night or two ago where you go, oh, look, that's what sort of a J.D. Vance actually looks like when he's not presented as this boogeyman character, when he's not presented as a caricature of himself. Because, look, now you have a few hours for the actual American people to see who a person is. The same thing is happening right now when they read this 1,000 pages that comes out from, you know, Jack Smith. Jordan has, it's like physically the prop. It's not a prop.
This is what he would like to bring, the charges he would like to bring. And by the way, this is now available to the public to read all, 190?
It's a lot of pages. It's a real thick 186 document.
186 pages. Yeah.
That really outlines a lot of hearsay, a lot of nothing.
Everything is
alleged.
Alleged.
And the American people, Rick, can see right through that.
You know, one of the things that I think is becoming very real and transparent is that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are people who will have conversations with people who disagree with them. And we're not afraid. I love taking calls from callers. We have no idea what they're going to ask or what they're going to say. But if somebody, you know, has a complaint and maybe they don't like me or like what I say, I want to be able to calmly defend myself. I want to defend a policy. I want to push back and say, well, have you thought about this? And I thought J.D. Vance did a really good job of that. What I want us to get to in this country is being able to disagree without canceling each other. What they've done to Donald Trump in terms of taking him to court, trying to crush him, bankrupt him, put him in prison, try to shoot him, all of these things are because the left says these nasty things like, oh, he's a threat to democracy or he's Hitler. If someone is truly a threat to America and a threat to democracy, then unstable, mentally ill people are going to hear that and try to take action because they hear that that's a permission slip to kill someone. I think that we've got to tone down the rhetoric. We got to be able to listen without saying, oh, I want to fact check you because I'm the author of facts. And you know, when you're having a debate about opinion, I think we've got to get back to the place where you can disagree calmly and defend yourself. You're a better person if you can figure out how to do that.
And one of our friends who is a very liberal-leaning, I'd say, maybe he was a more liberal-leaning pastor, if you will, he talks about disagreeing well. And he has taken so much heat from the left for saying that, though he's one of the more like creative liberal pastors, if you will, and he just took heat for just saying we need to learn how to have arguments and be okay and to disagree well. But of course, that is not going to happen from the other side. They're the ones that go after him. Let's go ahead and go to Annabelle, who's calling from California, on line one. Annabelle, go ahead.
Hi, Logan and Jordan. You know, I would wager that the majority of your listeners have either health, life, home, auto insurance, warranties on a new appliance, security systems, etc. Life and liberty are in dire peril. We should certainly have the same assurances to cover our precious fundamental rights. The ACLJ for decades has advocated for their clients at home and around the globe. It behooves us to put this brilliant, experienced, and unquestionably dedicated team on retainer by becoming a monthly champion. This will ensure that we have critical protection already in place. The ACLJ continually shines light of truth to educate, equip, and energize us to do our part. Please join me and the other champions and support the ACLJ, and God bless them, God bless America, and God bless all who need life-altering assistance.
Annabelle, thank you so much for when you call in. I know it sounds like something that we wrote, Rick, but we don't. Annabelle comes in ready to go, always with those statements. One, we appreciate your prayers and support, but that is precisely the fact, Rick. We only got a minute left, but calls like Annabelle, that's the real deal.
Can we just say that Annabelle was from California, and so we've got millions of conservatives in California who believe in life and liberty, so thank you, Annabelle. That sounded like we scripted it, but I promise you we didn't. I do, at some point, I want to be challenged by a caller, right? Wouldn't that be fun?
Hey, next time you're on, call in with that. We do have a couple lines open. Rick's got to go, but we do have a couple lines open at 1-800-684-3110. We like to take as many calls as we can in the next segment because we've heard people like Cece Heil. We've heard from our dad, Jay Sekulow. We've heard from Rick Grinnell. Now we get to hear, as Rick said, from the most important voice, the American people. So give us a call right now. And look, not even just the American people, worldwide, 1-800-684-3110 to be on the air. We got two lines open right now. And as always, stand with the ACLJ and stand with Israel as we mobilize our office right now in Jerusalem. They are under attack. We need to stand with them. Go to ACLJ.org, or if you're watching, scan the QR code on your screen. Like, subscribe, do all that. All your calls coming up in the next segment.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
the Secular. We are taking your phone calls. We've got one line open for you. So, folks, if you want to grab that final line, call 1-800-684-3110. I think we're going to go through a plethora of issues that we've discussed today, from Israel to Jack Smith and everything else in between. But when you're a month out from the election day, it's the, that is what's going to happen. Yep.
33 days out.
So where do you want to start, Logan?
Let's go ahead and let's go to the people about a hold for a long time. Let's go to Richard, who's calling in Ohio on line four. Richard is watching on YouTube, which we appreciate. And if you are on YouTube right now and you haven't subscribed, hit that subscribe button. No, we really appreciate it. Go ahead, Richard.
Okay, first thing we got to do is, you know, the American people is going to have to realize that we the people is the boss. We the people want to hire these idiots to go in office to do what we want to do, okay, which they're not doing. First thing we got to do is get Donald Trump back in office. Guarantee you within a week or two, you'll have that problem overseas stop, guaranteed, because he did it before when he went in there the first time, okay. Second thing we got to do, we got to give that White House one hell of a big enema.
It's to change things in Washington takes elections, but you have to choose the right people and you have to get them enough time to get things done. And I would say Donald Trump did in 4 years what many presidents don't get done in eight, but that's because he's a 24/7 kind of actor. And so three Supreme Court nominees confirmed, peace in the Middle East, for goodness sakes, the Abraham Accords. Yeah. Destroyed ISIS.
People remember.
Yes.
Hopefully they do remember what it felt like. I mean, obviously the end of the Trump administration was COVID. So it's those memories are not good. But pre-COVID, you're talking about a thriving economy, peace in the Middle East, things that never happened in our lifetime.
You could buy a second home. People were investing in rental homes.
All prices were down.
Properties. Remember all those TV shows, commercials you would see about investing in second properties and leasing those? That doesn't happen right now because the interest rates are so high.
Yeah.
No one was talking about the price of groceries.
No, that was not even an issue.
Or gas, except for, wow, it feels like I'm young again because I'm paying the same at the pump or less than I was when I got my driver's license.
Yeah.
But you can't just give them 4 years and you can't give them a Democrat House and Senate. So if you're talking about Republicans doing this, you're talking about 8 years as president, so it might not be Donald Trump the second term, but getting a Republican in there for the next four, and then keeping a Republican Congress. That's actually the most difficult thing to do.
It always
because
seems
the
to
House
switch.
Is up every 2 years, the Senate is up every 6 years, and the votes are a little different. But if you don't have all three, you'll never be able to fully drain the swamp unless, finally, the American people have seen enough. I don't think we're at that point yet, though, Logan. We're not at that point yet because the polls with Harris still wouldn't be this tight.
It's very tight right now. I know some of the new polls that came out in the last day or so show pretty much still at a dead heat. Let's go ahead and continue on. Let's go to Michael in Florida, also watching on YouTube. Love our YouTube audience. Michael, you're on the air.
Gentlemen, unfortunately, we are dealing right now here in the United States with a faux administration. I don't even know who's necessarily in charge. And for us to really not have Israel's back, meaning they are our ally, and we should be theirs, I think Trump said it best when he met with Netanyahu, and he said in an interview that he told Netanyahu, whatever you do, do it quickly, do it decisively. And that's leadership. That's having an ally. That's...
Yeah, I mean, I think, Michael, that's the point, is that Donald Trump, I think, understands Israel very well. And that if Israel gets the backing of the United States fully, when they responded to October 7th, which they did not get, then it would not have been so prolonged that we'd still be fighting that battle.
Yeah,
because that's exactly what Donald Trump said. Is Israel does best when they get in there, accomplish their goals. It can look dirty. It can look nasty, but they certainly had the justification for doing it. We'll have their back, and then this can be done very quickly. Now, when Israel doesn't have the back of the United States, and you got a country saying, well, maybe we will, but maybe we won't send you missiles for the Iron Dome.
Hold it off for a little bit.
Then guess what? You get into a protracted war in Gaza that is now going to outlast a year. We're just a few days away from hitting that mark. And you're going to start beginning a new war in Lebanon because Iran has taken everything else it's got and said, send it to Hezbollah. So far, I mean, I just want to remind people, Israeli troops are being killed as we speak, fighting on the ground in Lebanon. That has happened now. It has started. It is a limited ground invasion at this point with special forces, but IDF soldiers are being killed today in both the Gaza Strip and in Lebanon, fighting for the state of Israel to survive.
Yeah, it is a war, and it is happening right now. Let's go ahead and continue on. We'll try to get to at least one more call. Let's go. Terry is calling on line one, who's watching on the ACLJ app, which we appreciate. Terry, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you. My question is with the Jack Smith allegations. If this were to go to the Supreme Court again, could there be repercussions legally or ethically for Jack Smith?
No, because the Supreme Court said go back and take out what we are telling you the president is immune from. And that always takes some guesswork from the prosecutor. So unless somehow you can prove that Jack Smith is not doing this in good faith, I don't think he is, but if you can't prove that, it looks like he spent a long time and 165 pages trying to do what the Supreme Court asked, which was say, no, you've got to rework your charges because he's got some immunity from things, some charges you can't even bring. And so so long as he made his best effort, then Judge Chutkan gets to review it and toss out parts she doesn't like. And then the Trump team as well, before she does that, gets to challenge it, and she then makes a decision. So I don't think that's how we want. You don't look to the Supreme Court to say the Supreme Court's going to tell a prosecutor, no, you can't redo your brief and redo the criminal counts when we tell you that there's a path to do the criminal counts potentially. That's, again, gets to that big question of when does a president lose their immunity, and when does a acting president lose their immunity from a presidential acts? When do they become just acts of an individual? And that's a tough line to draw. The Supreme Court didn't try to draw it perfectly because they can't imagine every situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I want to encourage you right now to support the work of the ACLJ as we wrap up this show. Apologies to Kathy. We weren't able to get to you today. You call back and all the calls. There was a lot coming in here at the last minute. I encourage you. We do the show each and every day. Call in a little earlier, and we'll do our best to get to you. It's been a packed day. We've taken probably more calls than we've taken in a long time because we like to hear from you, especially as we head, into this final month lead up to the general election. You need to be there. And as Jordan said, when you have a support like the ACLJ around the country, and of course, we have offices in Europe. You heard from our UN. Our UN offices, our European offices at the UN. You heard from our offices in Jerusalem. At the ACLJ Jerusalem, we couldn't do any of that work without your support. As Israel is under attack, hundreds of missiles being launched. As Jordan said, ground forces going in. We know the opposition to Israel is still strong. Sometimes even in our nation, we need to be there for them. And we need your support to fight back. So go to ACLJ.org and decide if you want to become an ACLJ champion. That's someone that gives on a monthly recurring basis. 20 plus thousand of you do that. And I'm also going to encourage you, if you can't do that, just make a one-time donation. We really appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow, but make sure you stay in touch with us at ACLJ.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.